Always appreciative of God's people, making God's house a priority. Proverbs chapter 8. In just a moment, we're going to read the first verse of the chapter. And then I'm going to talk to you about the message here a minute. And then we're going to be continuing down through chapter 8. And I want to read that together, if you will. Let's read aloud together. Just verse 1, would you read with me, please? Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? And this evening I want to speak to you on the subject of the cry of wisdom. Now, wisdom is a vital thing in the Christian life. We know that the greatest of that which is given to us by God for us to be able to live a life for Him is charity. Wisdom is also a great overarching need in the Christian life. Wisdom is not just knowledge. To have proper wisdom, you have knowledge. Wisdom is not just understanding. It is somewhat a combination of those two things, and then it is beyond that. Wisdom is actually having your mind affected by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God to where you have capacity to view things in the right manner and to respond to things in the right way. The Bible underscores how important wisdom is when it says wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. With all thy getting, get understanding. And that's for every person. You young fellas here on my front row, you can have wisdom. You can't yet. How old are you, Hudson? You're 9 years old. How old are you? Eight, okay. So you're 8 and 9 years old. You cannot yet have experience. I mean, you've got 9 years worth of experience and 8 years worth of experience. But you can't look and say, hey, I've watched something like that go on for 20 years. I know how it turns out. Can't do it. You know, if you tell somebody you did, we know you're a little crazy in the head, right? You haven't been around that long. And so you can't do that. You can't have experience. There are some things that you cannot yet have learned through the reproofs of life. In other words, by seeing how things work out. It's a little different than experience. It includes experience, but isn't limited by that. But what you can have is you can have wisdom. And it really doesn't matter how smart you think you are, how smart somebody thinks you are. It doesn't matter as far as wisdom goes, no matter how well you do or do not do in particular subjects in school. You can have wisdom, and wisdom, God will show you personally how to live for Him and how to live wisely. I mean, from your age up. And so everybody can have it in here. If we were to take somebody as contrast, I'm very young. Let me take a little old as contrast. You have Brother Dan Short back here, and he's elderly. But you're 3 years older than me. He's old. He's past that 6-0. But you can have someone who's well up in years, and they can have wisdom. It's literally, it is the spiritual heritage of all of God's people who will seek it. And wisdom, when it's God's wisdom, it never serves to puff you up. Someone who really is walking in God's wisdom is never trying to impress people with how wise they are. In fact, they get less and less concerned about impressing anybody. Instead, they want to be helpful and they want to be obedient to God with it. But wisdom will keep you out of a lot of trouble. It'll give you discernment. It'll help you grow, and it's a tremendous thing. And so wisdom in the Bible, in the book of Proverbs, is personified. How many of you know that term, personified? God gave it terminology as a person. And it's personified, you tell me, as a man or a woman? As a woman, absolutely. Wisdom is referred to in the feminine. And that's something else. You ladies, I'd sit up and say, yeah, that's right, amen. Ever appropriate for a lady to amen, which it is at times, it would be right there. But she's talked about as wisdom's always talked about as a lady And so she shows up like that in the Bible. And so we're going to read some things about wisdom. And as God describes wisdom that way, as he reveals to us wisdom that way, what ends up happening is that we start seeing that wisdom is crying out. When I have this title, The Cry of Wisdom, it's not crying like boo-hoo, sad. It's someone crying out to someone, trying to get their attention, crying out, speaking to someone, trying to cause them to listen and that sort of thing with that. And so with that said, in just a moment, I'm going to talk to you about where wisdom is speaking. This is going to be real helpful to you if you want wisdom. I'm going to talk to you about where wisdom is speaking. Then I'm going to talk to you about to whom wisdom is speaking. Who's she speaking? Who's she addressing? Then I want to talk to you a moment about what she's saying. And then I'm going to give you a final thing is the contrast of the perils of ignoring her cry and the blessings of listening to her cry. So with that in mind, let's pray together. And as we pray, would you pray? You've had a busy day, but you're in church. Make use of this next little while to learn from the Word of God. Let's pray and ask God for his wisdom on this. Father, I pray you'll help me to preach your word clearly and with the conviction and power of the Holy Spirit on it to help your people tonight. And God, I pray you'll help us to have what we need to be useful to you, helpful to others, Lord, and able to fully and richly enjoy all godly things that you've given to us. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your character and who you are, the integrity of your love. I pray you'll bless and help us to be a blessing to you because of what we learned tonight. Amen. And give me just a moment. Get this out of the way. Keep messing around with it while I'm talking. First of all, I want to talk to you about the cry of wisdom. Where is she speaking? Look in chapter 8. As I told you in the next two verses there with that. 8 verse 2. It says, she standeth, wisdom, she standeth in the top of high places. I put this down with that. Where is she talking? In the place of perception. It's not talking here about the high places that are mentioned in the Old Testament where they would go and worship idols. It's not even the same phrasing. It says she standeth in the top of high places. In other words, a place where you would come and you would be able to see a view of things. It was funny. Logan and I were kind of fooling around yesterday, and I was at his house, and when you walk out of his house, you can see over, what in the world is that school there right in front of his house? Which one is it? Tarhee Elementary? What is elementary school? Back in behind Hugh White Chevrolet. Back in that subdivision. Anybody know? It's Tarhee? Yeah, I thought so. It's a big sign. I've looked at it 100 times. I have no idea. Played football around it. But we stepped out and you can see over a lot of the other houses and everything. And I stepped out on the porch and he turned around, looked at me, and I said, all this is mine. You know, and I was out there trying to be the great conqueror. I don't think anybody was impressed, but I was looking at that, and he was saying, isn't it pretty? But you could see, it was very pretty where you could see out over there. And he mentioned a place he likes to go up further on the hill because of the perspective of there. A popular place in our town is the top of Mount Pleasant. And why? Because it's an interesting perspective from up there. Now, where's wisdom crying out? From a high place, from a place of perspective. Wisdom's crying out to you when you get brought to a point where you can put some things in perspective. It's also a place of vision. You can see out further. Why do you like to go up to a high place? So you can see out. Our one dog, well, both of them like to, but one has trouble because of his legs getting up there. But our dog likes to just lay up on our porch and look out over. We always laugh. We say she's surveying her domain. She is. She makes sure everything's safe within as far as she can see. Why? They like that perspective. They like that vision. God's trying to call out to you when you have opportunity to see some things far off. There's going to be times in life you're going to find out, and you've already found out, some of you, and more than once, that there's times when you see things a little more clearly than others. You say, well, that's a sign of wisdom. It could be, or it may be a sign of the opportunity of wisdom. Because wisdom's crying out to you. In other words, when you get some perspective on something, when you get to where you can see and have some vision on something, what wisdom is saying to you at that time is, what are you learning from this? What are you getting from this? What are you being taught from this? And so the high places. Another thing put down with that is it's the it is the visibility. There's some clarity that comes at times. And so where is she crying? Look what it says in verse 2. She standeth in top of high places. Then, by the way, in the places of the paths. Here's my thought on that. It's a place where direction and journeys begin. You know when wisdom's crying out to you? When you're changing a direction. When you're making a decision. Wisdom's crying out to you, seek me during this time. Don't just run headlong into this. At the beginning of things, it's kind of funny. As a pastor, I can tell you when people get themselves tangled up. There's certain times of life that are dangerous for people that get themselves tangled up. I'll give you three major ones right now. This is where people who are very faithful people, people who tend to have served the Lord, this is where they'll get themselves tangled. One is when they get married. Now that'd be a time that draws them in closer. But for 6 months before the wedding, they'll forget that life exists while they're planning for this one day hootenanny they're going to have. Now you say, well, that's no. That needs to stay in perspective. It needs to stay in perspective. I've said to more than one bride coming into towards wedding day, say, look, I know you're afraid something might go wrong during the ceremony. Let me put your heart at ease. It will. You know? And then I give them stories, which usually I think comfort them. My wife's sister's veil caught on fire from the Unity candle. Our flower girl threw up all over the aisle. And I'll tell you something funny about that. I'm looking at my wife in her wedding dress, and I didn't even know the girl puked. I mean, I had no clue. They told me after, what do you think about that? And I'm like, we had a flower girl? I don't care who else was here. What are you talking about, man? Here, this is it. Good. Those are presents. Good. Say, what do you want? I want that honeymoon salad. Let us alone. I'm out of here. Leave us. I'm here for this gal. I don't care about the rest of y'all. But it's, but wedding time, it'll happen, and they'll get unfaithful and things. Not careful with that. Not everybody does, but it is a dangerous time. The next one is when a little bundle of joy comes along, the new baby. And all of a sudden, the church nursery is just a home of pathogens. They've never worried about it before. In fact, they didn't even wash their hands before they worked in there before to help. But now they're worried, you know. They'll take the kid to Walmart, God help us, and they'll take them to everywhere else. But they are not going to take them. Oh, they can't put them ever in the nursery. Why? Because, you know, those nursery workers are suspect. And, so far, I don't think we've not had more than, 12 or 13 babies dropped in the nursery? Something, you know. I mean, we've not lost any back there yet. And by the way, this crowd's got it easy. How many of you remember San Quentin? Amen. Linda Cornell and I were talking about, because she's remember when she first came, there used to be a mobile mini unit that sat out there when we were building a building. And it was one of those small mobile mini units. That's kind of like one of these pod things you have nowadays. And it had bars on the windows. And that was our nursery. You said, you got to be kidding me. No. And during vacation Bible school, I don't know if you remember the one time, one half of that thing, we ended up with 32 kids in there. This poor kid came out, his cowboy hat, everything's all twisted, and he's like, I was buried. you got it easy. Man, over at Liberty, when we were building the church there and we were meeting in a tent, it was the corner of a tent. You know what the nursery toys were there? I'm not kidding you. Rocks. Pebbles and bam bam. You know, it makes your kids tough. Great for teething. Oh, mercy. But you have to watch. Why? And I'll tell you part of what happens in each thing. I'm having a little fun, and I'm also warning people. And also telling you. And by the way, some of you folks say, yeah, we have to watch, you know, younger couples and stuff. Yeah, but you can help them during that time. You can encourage them. You can let them know. They're nervous, and they may, you know, it's nervous. Mom is sitting there, and she's got a tuning fork inside her. She can hear that baby when it cries back in the nursery. And he's saying, it's all right. It'll be all right. If there's a need, they're going to page you. You know, the pager and the wheel, they're going to cry some. It's like somebody puts one toddler size, you know, in the nursery first time. And as they walk away, the baby cries, so they go back and get them. No. Let them cry. They'll be okay. Now, the nursery workers, they don't want to hear me say that. But it is. They'll get used to it. And before long, I promise you this, before long, when you come to get them, you'll say, oh, I'm ready. And they'll go, no, go wait. And then you'll be crying because they didn't really want to see you. But it'll happen. You say, well, why does it affect people so much? Because of change of schedule. Because of life has changed. Because they're not sleeping anymore. because all these things that actually happen. But wait a minute, that's a change of direction. It's not a bad change. Those are good changes. That's not a bad thing. But what happens is when we, wisdom's crying at the paths of life, these intersecting places. See, what's the third one, preacher? When somebody buys or builds a first home, you got to be careful. If not, it's, oh, we got it, and get out of church and permanently is what will happen. And no, there's time enough to get it done. It doesn't all have to happen lickety-split. You can get it done. And he said, well, preacher, now don't tell me. We built our own while we were building this auditorium and everything. You can be in. He said, you had to be in church. You're a preacher. No, I was in church because I wanted to be. It was funny. When I first came here, I had some college, a couple of folks that were college age, and they weren't in class and stuff on Wednesday. He said, well, I'm in college. I got to study. I said, don't give that to me. I said, I worked 56 hours a week, went to college, and was in church. You can be in church. Why? Because it's important. Stay steady. Wisdom's crying out. Wisdom's saying, hey, seek me. Seek me. You got that new little one? It could be scary sometimes. How many of you, mamas, you got kids that are a little bit older and stuff, you'll admit it can be scary sometimes with that. Is that right? And you know the worst thing for that, for you ladies, is the fact, honest to goodness, this is the way it always works out, no matter how loving and attentive the husband and father is, as they should be, it's like something's going wrong with the kid. We hand them to the wife. Here, it's something's not working right. Brother Keith, you look like a man who may have done that before. Amen? Here, I don't know. Did you do that? He said, don't tell me you didn't. No, you didn't do that? Well, you come up here and preach while I did. That's pretty cool. I would. It's like, I don't know what's going on. I felt bewildered by it. And I remember my wife saying to me, I've never had one of these before either. And she goes, why do you think I know? I said, because you're a girl. You're built to know this stuff. And he says, seriously? I am such a chauvinist, thank God. My name's Phil. I am a chauvinist. It's just, there are pressures that come on. There are things that happen in life, and they're real. But here's the thing. Wait a minute. Wisdom's crying out to you. You listen to me well. You can tell right in this next statement, you're going to tell I'm an older pastor, not a younger one anymore. You may wobble a little while. You may wobble at certain times. And I'm not quite be as steady as you used to be. You're looking at one fellow who's not going to give up or think that you're all of a sudden you don't love God. But I am going to be concerned if you do. And I'll tell you why. Because you don't want the wobble to turn into a fall. But you will. All of us do in our walk, somewhere or another. We may even be right where we're supposed to be all the time, but we're wobbling inside. Everybody faces it. But here's the thing about it. That same God who saved us, that eternal God who is our Savior, that same one gives us strength at every point of life. Where's wisdom? What's the cry of wisdom? At these pivotal points, what's going on with you in your life? And by the way, everything I have mentioned are exciting times. They can be extreme blessing times, but we have to be careful. Anytime change of a job, you may even move to a better job, be careful. Anytime your schedule changes drastically, hug up close to wisdom. Help me know what to do with this new opportunity. Help me know what's going on, by the way. And so, where is she speaking? And then look, if you will, in verse 3, it says, she cries at the gates. It's interesting. That's a place of identification. Not only were the gates where a lot of transactions were done, but most of the cities had porters at the gates. They would identify whether a person should be coming in or not, whether that person might be a potential enemy. Wisdom helps you to identify potential sources of trouble and also to know who are your allies and who can really be your friends with that. So the identification with that. And then, if you will, then look at the other thing it says there, not only at the entry of the gates, but at the coming in of the doors. And I put that down. That's where business begins. That's where intentions are shown. Wisdom's crying out to you. you young folks and younger young folks in here, I know this sounds like a long way away, but there's going to be a day coming up. It'll happen in some aspects a little quicker than you think it will. You'll be done with school. And however you're schooled, wherever you're schooled, and, you know, I'm surprised I didn't have, you know, revival breakout saying that.
Yes.
But you'll be done with school. And however you're educated, that will, all of a sudden, there'll be a big change as far as your life and your responsibilities and things with it. Yeah, that's time wisdom's crying out to you, saying, hey, you're going into young adulthood, seek me. You're making more of your decisions. Seek me. Go forward with that. So, and then, to whom is she speaking? Look in chapter 8, verse 4. I still can't get over Brother Keith over here. And I absolutely believe you too. That's pretty cool. Wish you were my daddy. that is so cool. I like that. I love it. I'll tell you what I like. Can I just be, it's just us here tonight. I like pastoring a church where I said something like that. Brother Keith loves his preacher to death. He's not going to say, yeah, that was me when it wasn't. He's like, he looks at his wife, did I echo? No, I'm sorry, preacher. You know, your illustration stinks. I didn't do that. And I'm like, okay, there we go. So anyway, which one of you guys will admit to being that way? Just handing the kid over. Brian, you did?
Oh,
there you go. You're talking way too. You didn't do that with your daughter, did you?
I don't know which one
it was. Oh, man. I just started something, didn't I? I'm sorry, Grace. Yeah, no one. Oh, that's all right. Tell you what, I've got a cure for you. Talk to Brother Keith afterwards. He'll help you out. But to whom is wisdom speaking? To whom is she speaking at that time? Look in 8 verse 4. It says, unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. I put down with that, she is speaking to all people. She's saying, any one of you. When she says, I speak to you, sons of men, she is saying to them, you know what? Anybody who wants me can have me. And that's consistent with everything else we know about the wisdom in the Bible, is that it's open for whoever wants to get it. The new convert, the person who's been saved a lot of years, it doesn't matter. They can have wisdom if they will have wisdom. And so she says in verse 4, unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. Then look at verse 5. You've got two different groups. The first one are the simple. The best way to think about the application of that for simple there is someone whose life is not yet complex or complicated. Someone who's being influenced more easily, perhaps, who hasn't made some firm decisions about direction in life. And there's wisdom is one of the things calling out to the simple. Now, we see a lot of things that aren't wisdom, and it's calling out very stridently and very loudly, isn't it? It's amazing how many things are trying to pull the mind and pull the heart the wrong way. But wisdom's also crying. Wisdom's trying to get your attention. Now, here's the thing about it. Wisdom's voice is not a strident voice. Do you know what I mean by strident? Harsh and shrill, where you can hear it above anything else. It's a very even voice. And it's actually a peaceful voice. But I don't understand everything about the connection. Hearing the voice of wisdom is tied in with being still and knowing that he's God. And in that, during all the times that simple ones are going through things, they're trying to make decisions. A lot of loud voices calling out to him. Hey, this is right. Oh, that's right. And you know, we live in a generation where there's more easily accessible, more different types of voices to speak into people than what there have been. It's just where technology's taken us. And so in all that and all the clamor going on, there's a voice of wisdom. as a simple person, you're more like a blank sheet of paper. And you have different things that are trying to write on you. The scorner's trying to write on you. Because the scorner tends to be a predatory. Hey, it's trying to get you to mock something with them, trying to get you to criticize something with them. They're trying to write on you. The doubter's trying to get you to write on you. Oh, you don't believe that, do you? You don't believe that, do you? One of the funniest things I've heard of that happened, help me, what's Brother Bob's younger brother's name? I just lost his name. Great, Scott. Scott Gray he flew out to California, was a guest preacher, and he was there and he was dressed when he flew in, ready to go preach in case something happened. It was a close time frame for when he had to preach. In case anything went wrong, a delay, he wouldn't have time to go to the hotel. So he came in dressed, you know, nicely, ready to go. And he said he was at the airport and he was waiting for whoever was going to pick him up. And he said these couple fellows, he said they were just, you know, pants hanging down and all, just wild looking things. Said they started mocking him and laughing at him. You know, oh, look at you, how are you? And just, you know, doing that to him. And, you know, Scott has always looked a lot younger than he is anyway. And so what he did with it, he looked at them and started laughing at them. And he'd laugh. And one of them finally said, what are you laughing at? And he said, you? And he said, well, and he goes, how old are you? I guess they're about the same age. And he says, I'm just laughing at you. He goes, where are you sleeping tonight? Well, I don't know, man. He goes, you own anything? No. He goes, I have a beautiful wife. I have a home. I have a car. And he says, I'm laughing at you. And he said, the guy got upset, started saying, hey, that ain't nice. Don't laugh at us. But anyway, long and short of it was, he ended up, they came to church with him that night. I don't recommend that as a soul winning pattern to follow. But it's the idea there's different voices. Not careful, you'll let some really bad voices intimidate you. Somebody says to you, oh, you don't believe that. And you don't take time to look at the fact that these people are not living a life you want any part of. So why do you listen to their advice? Why do you care if they think it's dumb? They're a train wreck. I don't care what they think's dumb. They obviously have problems. And as a simple person, you're saying something's trying to ride on you. Well, let me tell you something that's trying to write on you. It's trying to write on you. Every time you open your Bible, it's trying to write on you. Every time you hear Bible preaching, it's called wisdom. God wants you to be equipped for the life that He wants you to live. He made you to live life here on this earth, and He wants to equip you for it. And so He's speaking out to you about that. And a tremendous thing with that. Quickly with that, it says, you simple, understand wisdom. And this one, I find a comfort in it. It says, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. God would not have said that if it was not possible for that to happen. A fool is not somebody who just doesn't know something. A fool is someone they're going headlong into what they know is wrong. They have a disrespect and disregard for the things of God. One mark of a fool, there's a lot of them, and I've put out sheets, there may even still be some out there right now, Bible characteristics of fools. And the Bible identifies it. Well, the chief underlying characteristic is they think very little of that book. That's characteristic of a fool. They don't count that book worth anything, or they only count it worth other literature and other things going on in this world. And fools are dangerous. The Bible says it's better to meet a bear robbed of her whelps. You're talking about a mama bear, someone's taking her cubs. It's better to meet that than a fool in his folly. There's a lot of ways a fool can hurt you. He that walketh with wise men shall be what, church? You know it. Wise. But a companion of fools shall be what? On a lot of levels. If nothing else, you can get in a car with a fool that acts like a fool every time they get behind the wheel of a car. They can get you crippled or killed because they're being a fool. You get involved in business with a fool who doesn't know how to handle anything, is always makes an excuse why they can't handle anything, they'll bankrupt you as a fool. There's a lot of ways you can get destroyed by a fool. They're dangerous company. They're warned about in the Bible. But look what this verse says. This is amazing to me. It says, wisdom crying out, says in verse 5, oh, simple understand wisdom. And we'd say, okay, that makes sense. But wait a minute, not just that. And fools be of an understanding heart. That means that not everybody that's being a fool today is destined to keep being a fool tomorrow. I'm glad when God brought conviction on my foolish heart. I'm glad when God has brought chastisement and correction on my foolishness when I, as a follower of Jesus Christ. And thank God that there's a person who will go for wisdom, can change and go to wisdom. You say, do most of them? The Bible indicates no, it's not the majority at all. But thank God for every brand that is plucked from the burning. Thank God for it. So to whom she's speaking? Simple to the fools with that. And then let me show you another one. What is she saying? This is really neat. Look in Proverbs 8, verse 6. Hear, for I will speak. Let's see what she's talking about. I will speak of excellent things. I will speak of excellent things. I was in a conversation on the phone with somebody today and talking about this or that. And you know, thing came to my mind, thing came to my heart is God's got some excellent things for us. Let's talk about this. That's what she talks about. You know what wisdom will be saying to you? Here's how you know wisdom showing up. Foolishness shows up and says, oh, you can get away with this, you can get away with that, or I need to do that, this doesn't matter, this little detail doesn't matter. But that's fool talk. Wisdom comes along and says, let's do what's best. Let's not be satisfied with mediocre. Let's go forward. Let's figure out how to do better. I was reading a little excerpt today of a lady who's 102 years old. And she was given advice, and she's written a little book, and she was given advice about how to have a blessed life. And it was pretty neat. And she said, focus on what is good and never get tired of growing. She said, do not be afraid to face your fears. She's 102 years old. Very healthy, very active. Don't be afraid to face your fears. Keep learning new things. And keep a very positive approach to what you do in life. Pretty interesting. As she had talked before that, she by her statement, has very deep faith in God and trust in Him. And then here's what I do with that faith. I put it into action and do something in my life. It's pretty neat, a little article with it. And then she quoted one of my favorite quotations from Abraham Lincoln. I've used it from the pulpit here before. And when I read that she quoted, I thought, oh, that's such a good quotation. I love it. I saw it first time hanging on a little placard thing on a wall in a place down in Cherokee, North Carolina. And I put it in my memory for that. I said, that is a great statement. Abraham Lincoln said at the end of the thing, he said, at the end of the thing, it's not the number of years in your life, it's the amount of life in your years that matters. And I love that statement. What's wisdom doing? She is speaking, and what she's saying, she's saying excellent things with that. And so look what she says. Here, for I will speak excellent things. Verse 6, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. It tastes terrible. It tastes terrible. Anybody got something you just absolutely despise the taste of? That? What is it?
Sweet potatoes.
Sweet potatoes, really? All right. You just don't like them at all. Brother, if we're ever eating here at this church together, get me yours. I like them. And I'll make sure, all right? And I don't know if your grandparents have you eat, whatever. But if they do, sit by me and we'll work that out, okay? You'll get to the dessert plate faster. Sweet potatoes. I've never met anybody just despise sweet potatoes. That's all right. What do you dislike?
Asparagus.
Yeah. Anyway. You don't like it. Do you not like the way it tastes, or you don't like the fact you feel like a panda eating bamboo? You don't like the taste? Just kind of left. So you're not real good. You wouldn't want an asparagus pie or anything like that. I know if there is such a thing. Sounds horrible. What don't you like?
Fried fish.
Fried fish? I don't blame you. It's much better raw. Yes? Brussels sprouts. That's sort of like rolled up asparagus. Wayne? What? Oh, come on now. We can't have this kind of heresy in the church. How many of you in here dislike, and I won't say you hate it, but you dislike asparagus? Let me see your hands. Oh my. Okay. We may have a church split. How many of you are like myself, you like asparagus? That's right. Me and the kid down there eat it when we're in it. Good stuff, isn't it? And I can keep going. Some of you definitely want to tell me what you dislike. But think about that. Whatever it is, and how many of you say there's not anything I really dislike? Some things I don't eat, but most things I like. Are you omnivorous? Yeah. Are you really? Yeah. That's why. So there you go. You can eat most things. I still fried fish. Any kind of fish. So you're not a fan of fish tacos then, right? You know, the word fish taco makes me feel ill. And I like fish and I like tacos, but those two things don't seem like they should be together. But if you think about something you would put in your mouth that you would really dislike, you'd put, ugh, I didn't mean to get a hold of that. It's like when my mamaw, how I said, my Oreos, and I like Oreos, and she'd go cheap sometimes and get Hydrox. God help us, get Oreos. Come on, your grandkids worth it. But I'd get Oreos, and I'd go in there, and there was a little glass pitcher she'd keep the milk in. I'd pour the milk over, dip my Oreos. That little thing on top above the O, I imagined that it was a TV antenna in my house was going in. And I'd hold on until it almost fall. I just had a spoon ready in case I lost my Oreo. And I liked them. And I eat with my tongue. I like to flip an Oreo in my mouth and smash it up like that. And then swallow it. That's fun. And I liked it. So one day, I looked in the pineapple-shaped cookie jar. I could tell as soon as I opened it from the smell, because Hydrox don't even smell like Oreos. And I opened it, and I said, Oreos, yes! Social Security check came in. And so I get the Oreo, and I go to my little glass thing that she always had for me, and I got my cup. I'm so happy. I'm so excited. I'm pouring the milk in. It seems like it's not pouring as fast as usual. It almost seemed a little lumpy. But who am I to pay attention like that? I'm not going to worry about that. And I get my Oreo, throw it in my mouth. That was the first time I was ever afraid senility had snuck in on my mamaw. She had filled my little glass thing for me. That was for me on Sunday. And she had put my papaw's buttermilk. What I think. Hey, you say, I like buttermilk. Well, I'm not a fan of buttermilk anyway, but don't dip Oreos in it. You say, preacher, what are you doing? Waking you back up so I can finish my last point. Look, the thing of it is, you think about something. Only worst thing was I got adventurous one day, and I like to dip things. I'm part raccoon. And I dipped an Oreo in Pepsi. That was bad. Then I decided to go further. I dipped my peanut butter sandwich in Pepsi. That's not good at all. But you can think of anything that doesn't quite taste good and how if it comes into your mouth, you'd be like, what'd I get a hold of? The other day, I got me a good hamburger, I thought. I ordered it out. And when I bit into it, it was raw in the middle. Yeah, I expectorated it rather quickly. So what does that mean? I spit it out. Even. Only thing worse is almost raw chicken. You get undercooked chicken. That would make you not eat for a couple of days. And so it's a... It is, wickedness should be that way. See, what wisdom, what she's saying, she says, look here, look what she's saying. Verse 7, for my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. Wisdom is saying to you, it ought to be a thing where wicked talk of any type, whether it be gossip, repeating something because you're being a busybody in other people's matters, which is what the Bible says about it, and whether you're doing it verbally or electronically. Vulgar talk, innuendo, inappropriate talk. There's some talk that's for husbands and wives. There's some talks that's not for mixed company. There needs to be a lot more propriety in such areas. And so when we talk, wicked talk specifically, what it says there, should taste bad to us. Wisdom says, when that comes out, you should say, that didn't taste good. I don't want that. I don't want that. Why? What's she saying? She's saying, put that away. Let's finish out here. And then verse 8, All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There's nothing froward or perverse in them. It's interesting, that word froward means to struggle or morally torture. Something's froward, it's morally torturous. It tortures your morals. It puts them under a bind. It says, my speech, my mouth, as in righteousness, there's nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. So where is she speaking? All these different places and these pivotal times in life, she's speaking to all people. I can assure you, I can promise you on the word of God, that right now, we're having a little fun as a church family as part of this. I'm talking to you tonight, enjoying being with you. But wisdom, literally, through the word of God, is trying to get your attention. Trying to stir you up right now to want wisdom. And to want the God of wisdom. And then let me say finally to you, there's a contrast in the perils of ignoring her and the blessings of listening to her. Look in Proverbs 8 and jump down there to verse 11 in your reading. And I'm just going to read through these, and I want you to look at the contrast between paying attention to wisdom or ignoring wisdom. Because you're going to do one or the other. And you, nobody else, that's yours to do. And you're going to make a choice. Look, I'm going to show you scripturally what you're facing according to what choice you make. Verse 11, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to her. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance in the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me, kings reign and princes decree justice. By me, princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early in your life, early in your decisions, early in your relationships, early in your day. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches, not just a passing thing, and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue, which is your income. It's exactly what it means, that income flow. My revenue, then choice silver. What you gain from wisdom is a continual source of value to you. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, and I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. What is this? That's benefits. Contrast with the good, and then what happens if you ignore it? Look back in Proverbs 1. Last little passage I want to show you is also dealing with this contrast. Looking back in Proverbs chapter 1 and beginning in verse 20. Look again, you're looking for contrast here. You have wisdom crying again. Wisdom crieth without. She utters her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse. That's the place of business and business transactions. In the openings of the gates, in the city, she uttereth her word, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and ye refused. Isn't that a bad position? I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel. You set at naught, you count it as nothing. And would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. In other words, you'll end up past the line when you turn around and the answer is going to be, here's the way they said it when I was growing up. You made your bed, now sleep in it. And that was a real common thing people were told by their families and by people around them when I was very young. someone do this or that, and it wasn't, oh, how are we going to bail poor baby out? You got looked at and you said, you done made your bed, you sleep in it. And you slept in that mess a couple of times. You didn't want to do that anymore. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. Verse 27. When your fear cometh as desolation. Now watch this in regards to last night and what all was going on. Your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. Anybody get woke up by that storm last night? Two people in town today told me their whole house was shaky. Scared them pretty bad. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They're not seeking wisdom. Then they're looking for an out. And God knows the difference with it. It says, then shall they call upon me, and what? I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. I wish I had time to develop all that phrase out. But one of the things that destroys those who are without wisdom is they see the fools being prosperous, therefore they think foolishness is validated. Prosperous fools destroy a lot of people because foolish and unwise people look at them. They go, well, they got money. They must be doing something right. Well, they did this. They must be doing something right. They achieved this. They must be doing something right. They may be adept at a certain discipline. But that's not the same as being what we ought to be in life. The prosperity of fools shall destroy them. And then it also has a direct application to the fool's own prosperity can destroy them because that's what they put their fascination on. Verse 33, but whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. And wisdom's got a lot to say. She's crying out. Let me tell you something. I know for sure because the Bible's open. A God-called pastor is preaching to the congregation. I know that wisdom's crying out to you tonight. But listen to me well. Whenever your day starts tomorrow, maybe some of you it's in the very early morning, maybe it starts after here tonight, whatever your schedule is, as you go about whatever you're doing on a day-by-day basis, wisdom's crying out to you. And what I'm asking you tonight is, please hear the cry of wisdom and answer. Because I'm promising you, there's a revenue to it. You say, I'll get rich. You'll learn a wonderful biblical perspective on what rich really is. There are some people who have a lot of things and they're very poor. There are some people who have few things but they're very rich. There are some people who have a lot of things and they're very rich. And there are some people who have very few things and they're very poor. I'm going to stop. There's so much I want to say. Father, thank you for your words tonight. Help us, please, Lord, to seek your wisdom, not just to be content to go on our own power. I'm glad you gave us reasoning ability. It's marvelous that you made us with that capacity. And Father, we want to use that well and develop it and keep growing, do our part. But Lord, we do recognize and acknowledge tonight our need of you and God, ask you for wisdom. I want wisdom. Lord, I pray that you'll bless those who do seek you with their heart and do want wisdom. If it's just a little kindling of a spark of a flame starting with them, Lord, I pray that they'll pay attention to that and start really desiring it. Lord, I ask you especially tonight for some of our young folks sitting here tonight. When they just get inside of them, they want to start getting your wisdom at a young age so that they can walk in wisdom through their life. Find out what that means and the benefit of it. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you even, Lord, for that encouraging thing that there are some who are being very foolish right now. God, in coming days, we're going to see them start to walk in wisdom. Lord, I pray that you'll bless. Thank you for that. Thank you for our own foolishnesses you brought us back from and opened our eyes to. God, I pray you'll bless your people tonight. May they have a hunger for you. May they ask you. May they seek you on it and ask for the wisdom that you have to give. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together, please. And maybe right now is when you want to start that. Now's a good time, and this is a good place.